Morning, guys. How is everybody this morning? Welcome to our live stream here at Crestview Baptist Church in Shelby. We're so glad to have everyone join in this morning. Before we get started, I want to go to the Lord in prayer. So if everybody would bow their heads, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you for this day, for allowing us to be a part of your plan, God, to reach people sitting maybe at work listening on their phones to, or sitting at home watching on their computer, Lord. I just pray that as we go in this time of your message this morning, that every single one of us take the time, take all the things in our life that have weighed us down this week and give those over to you, put those to the side, and focus on you, God, because that is the only way through. God, I just pray that as we're up here this morning, Lord, we speak your words and that your message is received wherever it is heard. We love you and we praise you, God. Amen. All right. So at this time, I want you to bring your kids close by and bring them up to the screen. I miss seeing all my kids come down front and hearing what they have to say. But as of right now, this is the way I get to communicate with them. So, hey, guys, I hope you're having a good week. I hope you're enjoying the sunshine and the warm weather that God has blessed us with this week. I want to talk about something that has something to do with this time of the year. We are in the middle of springtime, and flowers are blooming. Plants are coming up, and I want you to go back and I want you to think about if you went outside at the beginning of spring or right now, or you're going to, and you've planted a garden of some kind with your family. Maybe it was flowers you planted. Maybe it was vegetables you planted. And I want you to think about that. Maybe you took some seeds and you placed them in the soil. We don't call it dirt. When I was in high school, I was in the FFA, and if we called it dirt, our FFA leader would make us do push-ups. So we call it soil. We put the seeds in the soil. And if the soil is good, the seeds will sprout up as long as the soil has the right nutrients in it and is watered and taken care of. And did you know we're like that? From a young age, as you start learning about God and taking messages each week that you get from your pastor or your leaders or your Sunday school teachers, and you take those messages and you start to apply those to your life, you have to take care of the soil. You have to make sure the soil that those messages are going in is taken care of. I'm going to read Matthew 13, chapter 23, and it says, "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold." In here, Jesus was telling a parable, which is a story. Jesus loved to tell stories, and he was the best storyteller there ever was. And he was telling about some people who planted some seeds. And there were a couple who planted seeds on not so good soil. And the seeds didn't come up and produce fruit like they wanted to. But the seeds planted in good soil, they produced fruit. And if you're taking care and you're taking the message that you're getting from your Sunday school teacher or whoever you're getting it from each week, and you are trying to apply those things to your life and just loving God and loving people, then you're going to produce fruits like kindness, love, gentleness, all these fruits that God gives us. So I want to challenge you this week to do things to take care of the soil that is you. Read your Bible. Spend time praying to God. Just take time out of your day to enjoy what God gives you. And if you do that, your life and you will grow more than you can ever imagine. If you would, just bow our heads and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you again for this day. Thank you for these kids and that are watching and the parents who brought them to the screen. Lord, I ask you that at this time that you Give us the strength and the wisdom each week, Lord, to take the seeds that we receive each week, God, and just apply those to our life so we can produce good fruits in our life, the good fruits that are the fruits of the Spirit, Lord, and that we can love others and are kind to others and just do the things that you would have us do. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Thank you so much for each one of the little ears that heard this message today, God. And I just pray that their life is blessed. Lord, all this we ask in your name. Amen.
Good morning. I hope everyone's doing well this morning and that everybody is blessed, that you're staying safe. And I know that there's some confusion about exactly what all's going on, and everywhere you turn, there's some sort of spin put on our situation right now. But the one thing that I can assure you of is that God is in control and that he is looking out for us and that he is going to take care of us. Now, as far as Crestview Baptist Church, we will continue to do what we're doing online. As soon as we're able to start meeting together, we will do so. And our leadership, our deacons and staff are meeting regularly to update everything, to get us prepared to be able to meet together. So hopefully within the next few weeks, we will be able to start doing that again. I know that we're missing that, but I want you to know that you are loved, not only by us, but by God the Father as well, and Jesus Christ. And God is still alive and well. And there is nothing that will ever change that. But thank you for joining us this morning as we start our time of worship. And thank you for Chad doing the children's sermon and getting us opened up this morning. But we're going to continue our sermon series on the gift of of the spiritual gifts that are given to the church, to the those that are born again through the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at the gift of exhortation today. And so we're going to go back to Romans chapter 12, where Paul is writing his letter to the church in Rome. And we're looking at verses 3 through 8. So this is what it says. If you've got your Bible, you can turn there or you can look online. Also, in the comment section, there is an outline for sermon notes that if you want to take a look at those, then you're more than welcome to do that. But starting in verse 3, this is what Paul writes: "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Let's pray. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for the fact that the Holy Spirit grants us different gifts, so that we all may work together as one body. Dear Lord, it takes all of these gifts to make the church function correctly, the way you have designed it to work. Dear Lord, not one gift is better than another, but it takes them all, dear Lord. And we thank you for the fact that you have given these gifts to each and every person that has accepted you as their personal Savior. Dear Lord, bless the reading of your word in this time that we have together. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Okay, for the first thing I want to look at is what is exactly is exhortation? Back in, at verses 6 and 8, it says that since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. So we have to, this gift is to be used. And he who exhorts in verse 8 in his exhortation. So this gift is given by the Holy Spirit. So, but what does it really mean? Well, the Greek word for exhortation is parakaleo, which means to admonish, to encourage, to beseech, to comfort. Now, the interesting thing about this is that the word parakaleo has the same root as the word parakletos, which Jesus used to describe the role of the Holy Spirit. The same root word for both the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the exhorter, as this word exhort. So let's dig into this a little bit. In John 14, verse 16, is where Jesus says this. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. This word conveys the idea of coming alongside of. The Holy Spirit was to come alongside of us and help us to and comfort us, to guide us, to shape us. That is the job of somebody that has the gift of exhortation. So let's look a little bit closer at this gift now that we understand what exhortation is. This gift, why do we have this gift? Well, look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. The same reason we have all the other gifts that we've been given by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, 12, Paul writes this, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building of the body of Christ. The same reason we have all the other gifts, we have this gift for a specific reason, and that is to build the body of Christ, to work in ministry, to equip the saints. That is the purpose of all these gifts. And if we're not using them for that purpose, then we are not using them the way God intended us to use them. Someone with the gift of exhortation's central motivation is to encourage others to mature in Christ and grow spiritually. Now you think about Chad's children's sermon about the fruits of the Spirit. How do we receive the fruits of the Spirit? Or how do the fruits of the Spirit grow within us as Christians? It is through the work of the Holy Spirit. It is through that comforter or helper working inside of us that encourages us to change, to produce fruit, to grow and to mature in Christ. The person with the gift of exhortation does the same thing by encouraging people to grow, to encouraging them to mature spiritually, and they do that in very many different ways. The exhorter often seeks to stimulate the development by discipling, teaching, and counseling others. Now you think about that. Even though this is another one of the gifts given by the Holy Spirit, we can't separate the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the role of the exhorter within the church. They have the same exact job. The idea of discipling, it is not just teaching, but it is guiding, walk alongside of, building that relationship and helping them along the way. Teaching the same thing, continuing to put the word out there, continually to guide, to teach, And then counsel. Giving wise advice to guide, direct, the same role the Holy Spirit has in our lives, the exhorter has within the church. Okay? And then there are some principles that characterize the gift of exhortation. So look at these with me, if you will. Number one, the exhorter desires to see others mature in their faith. Again, that is the central motivation behind the role of the exhorter, that is that they want to see people mature in their faith. The second principle is that the exhorter desires to see others discover their spiritual potential. An exhorter looks at people and sees more than the people see themselves. They see what they can become, and they want to help them discover that and get there in their maturity to be able to do what God has designed them to do. The exhorter is quick to ask questions about a person's general welfare, often in the attempt to get to discover their individual's spiritual welfare. An exhorter will ask a lot of questions about general things, but what they're really doing is they're finding out about where you are spiritually. An exhorter must always point others toward Jesus. Again, the purpose of having these gifts is to build the church, to build the kingdom of God, and the same with all the others. Their main purpose is to point people to Jesus. The growth, the spiritual growth, the spiritual maturity starts at the point they receive Christ as their Savior. The point they meet Jesus is where everything starts, and that they're always going to point people to Christ. The gift of exhortation includes the ability to give precise instructions about how a person might grow in their relationship with Christ. The people with this gift are very practical. They're going to tell you precisely what you need to do to grow in your relationship with Christ. The exhorter has learned the value in suffering. Think about what Paul says. He says, I have learned what it is to be in want or need, and I have learned what it means to have plenty. And I can now say, I am content no matter where I am because of Jesus Christ. The exhorter has learned to be able to do that same thing. They have learned the value in suffering. The exhorter is concerned with application of God's word. They want to make sure that God's word is being applied correctly. A lot of times we see people misinterpreting or not applying God's will correctly. You know, you can really take, if you want to take bits and pieces out of God's word, you can really get it to say anything you want to do, to say. If I want to go out there and kill somebody, I can make God's word say that it's okay to go out there and kill people if I pick and choose what I want to look at. But if you take it in context and you take it by what it means and you look at why he said things and where he said things, it only says certain things. We can't make it say what we want to, and the gift of the exhorter is doing just that. They are concerned about that application. I have spoken with people that really, they dismiss what the Bible says because they say it's outdated. Because it talks about slavery and it says that slaves should submit to their masters. And they said that is wrong because slavery is wrong. Yes, slavery is wrong. But if you take that principle that's laid out there in Scripture, if we have a job and we have a supervisor that's over us, how are we supposed to do our job? We're supposed to submit to those in authority. We're supposed to submit and humble ourselves to the supervisor and do what we're directed to do. I have told my children a lot of times that if you don't want to follow directions of your boss, the one that is paying you, they will get rid of you and hire somebody else that will. People are looking for jobs all over the place. So you need to do what your supervisor is asking you to do, as long as it's not breaking the law or immoral. Well, this exhorter is concerned with that application, making sure that we apply God's word to our lives in the appropriate way. The exhorter wants to be with people and see firsthand how they are growing in their faith. An exhorter is not an introvert. An exhorter is an extrovert. They want to be with the people. They want to see how they are growing in their faith. And then there are some general characteristics of those with the gift of exhortation. One of the main characteristics, or the first characteristic that we're going to look at, is wisdom. Wisdom is to understand the Word of God and how it applies to you. They understand that. They have wisdom in knowing how the Word of God applies. Wisdom is not just knowledge. It's not just knowing about God's Word, but it's knowing how to apply it to the situation and to your life. And the person with exhortation has that wisdom. Discernment. To be able to slice open mentally and see the truth for what it is. A person that has the gift of exhortation, as a few of the other gifts, have a very strong sense of discernment. They can tell when something is not right. And because their gift of exhortation, they just don't point out what is not right, but they give you practical application of God's word and how to fix what is not right. Okay, and then faith. To believe God can take you from where you are to where He desires you to be. Listen, that faith is not in the individual, but it is in God that does the work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And they have faith that that will happen. Listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. God loves you where you are. He will meet you where you are, whether it's in the gutter, in the crack house, on the street, in the mansion, in your bed. It doesn't matter where you are. God will meet you where you are. But He loves us too much to leave us there. The Holy Spirit will work in us to make us into what He has created us to be in the first place. And the exhorter can look at somebody and see that. They can see with faith that God has a plan for you. And that they believe that God's going to take you from where you are right now to where He wants you to be, so that you can accomplish what He has set before you to accomplish. And that's an extraordinary faith that the exhorter has. And then another characteristic is discretion. An exhorter will keep what he knows about you in confidence. Listen, every single one of us have issues in our life that we don't want to know anything about, or let anybody else know anything about. But we also have things that we need to talk about. The exhorter will let you talk and let you spill your heart to them, and they will keep it in confidence. They will not tell another soul about it. They'll pray about it. They'll take it to God. And they'll ask the Holy Spirit to work in your life to help in those issues. But they will not share anybody here on earth. They will not tell a soul. And then love. To desire the best in your life. Offer God's truth without judgment or condemnation. You know, it's interesting that that discretion and that the characteristic of love that they're listed together here. Think about this. When you spill your guts to people and you tell them those deep, dark secrets that you have in your life, we as humans, a lot of times that will drive people away. I remember when Ginger and I first started dating, and our very first date, I told her everything about my past. And she flat out looked at me and said, "Why in the world would you tell me those things?" And I told her that I wanted her to know the truth, and if it was going to change the way she felt about me, I wanted it to do it then instead of later down the road. The person with exhortation, they love you. They're going to love you, and they're going to share God's truth with you without judging you or condemning you, because they know that it's not them that does the work in you, but it's God that does the work in you. And they love you enough to want the best for you, and they know that God is the best for you. Creative. Now, I want to say this before anybody gets upset about this, but look at what this says, and then I'll explain this. To recognize that you are a unique individual, and God's word must apply to your life creatively. Now, I want to understand before somebody takes off and runs with this idea, I am not talking about that you make the Bible or God's word fit the way you want to live your life. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But God meets us where we are. And each individual, God will meet you with where you are. You think about what Paul says. Paul says, "For I have become, to the Jews, I've become like a Jew. To the Greeks, I've become like a Greek." He says, "I have become all things to all men that I may win as many as possible." It's that creativeness, meeting people where they are. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about what God's word says. It's not talking about changing things to make people feel comfortable. It's not talking about being politically correct. It's talking about meeting you where you are. And God will meet you where you are. And His word will remain the same, but it will be applied to you as an individual. For instance, there are five people within this room right now, or six, excuse me. When we read the same scripture, all six of us will get something different out of that. The same scripture. But God is speaking to us each individually through His word. And it will get us where we are. That's what this is talking about. And then the last characteristic is enthusiasm. To be able to inspire you to desire more in your Christian walk. The exhorter will be with you, and they will encourage you, and there is something about them that will inspire you because of their enthusiasm, because of their spirit, but they will inspire you to want to grow more. They will inspire you to want to have a deeper walk. They will inspire you not to stay where you are, but to get closer to God. That is an important characteristic of the gift of exhortation. Now, here is the thing. Depending upon the circumstance, the gift of exhortation can encourage or rebuke. Now, I want you to think about this. We've already talked about the fact that this gift, the gift of exhortation, works within the church as the Holy Spirit works within our lives. And the Holy Spirit, yes, it's a helper, it's a comforter, but it also can convict. And when I say convict, I'm not talking about the legal term convict, where we are pronounced judgment upon. But convict is in that it makes us feel the guilt of our actions. But it's also the one that draws us closer to God and works within us. So look at these verses. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. So the church throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. Now this is talking about the early church, how that the early church, through the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the fear of God, continued to increase and continued to be built up. This is because of the work of the Holy Spirit within the early church. This is the same Holy Spirit that works among all of us, building us up and equipping us to do the work of kingdom building. But then look at John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11, and this is Jesus speaking. And he, when he comes, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit. This is the same passage that talks about sending a helper. It's right after that. He says, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment concerning sin, because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. So the gift of the Holy Spirit is to rebuke and convict. Why? Well, because Jesus is no longer here. And the ruler of this world, who is Satan, has already been judged. His end is already made clear. He just doesn't understand that yet, and he's going to fight tooth and nail to keep it from happening, but it's already been done. He was defeated the moment Jesus died on the cross and rose again. He was already defeated. And his judgment is sealed. But it's the gift of the Holy Spirit that convicts us, that shows us that judgment is awaiting for us unless we surrender to Jesus Christ. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do that. And this gift of exhortation, this person that has this gift, can help you grow, can comfort you. But at the same time, they will confront you, they will rebuke you, and they will show you the errors of the way. But during the whole process, they will love you. And the reason they do that is because they see the potential there, and they know by faith what God has in store for you. And they know what God's word is. They are there to help us. I remember as a child watching the G.I. Joe cartoons. And they would always have, at the end of the show, they would always have this this segment where they would deal with something and they would tell you something, and then it would say, he says, now you know, and knowing is half the battle. When we are convicted by the Holy Spirit, or we're rebuked by somebody with the gift of exhortation, what we have that we are doing wrong is being brought to light. And the reason people are uncomfortable is because they don't want to know those things. They want to think that they are okay. Well, I hate to break it to you, but we're all broken. We are only made whole through the blood of Jesus Christ. But knowing is half the battle. Because once the Holy Spirit, or the, in this case, the person with the gift of exhortation, reveals to us that something is not right, we then have the opportunity to turn it over to God and make it right. We can go through life not thinking that anything is wrong. But the moment that we realize something is wrong, we have a decision to make. We can accept God's word and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to change us and Christ's blood to wash us clean. Or we can reject that and keep doing what we're doing. If you're driving down the road and you got a flat tire and you don't realize it, and somebody pulls up to you and says, "Hey, you got a flat tire," you've got a choice to make. You can either go get it fixed, or you can continue running down the road on that flat tire. If you go get it fixed, you're not going to have any more problems. But if you can continue to run down the road on that flat tire, guess what? You're going to ruin that tire. It's not going to be able to be patched. You're quite possibly going to ruin your rim and possibly even ruin your vehicle, which is going to cost you a lot more than what you're wanting to pay in the first place. Sin is the same way with us. And only thing that is going to keep us from suffering the consequence of sin is the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's up to you what you want to do with it. You can continue through life the way you are now, but it's going to end up costing you everything. Or you can surrender yourself to Jesus Christ. Accept Him as your personal Savior and allow the Holy Spirit to begin working in you to make you into what you were created to be in the first place. And that is a child of the King. It's up to you. What is your decision? Please think about this. If you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, please contact us. Put a message in the comments. Email us here at the church. Send me a personal message on Facebook. However you want to, but don't go another day without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me pray right now, then I have a couple of announcements at the end of our service. Let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sins. Dear Lord, He was a perfect sacrifice. And we have salvation through Him. And dear Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit coming and comforting us and helping us. Thank you for the work of the Spirit within our lives, dear Lord, that changes us from the inside out, that makes us into a new creation. And dear Lord, thank you for those that you have gifted with these different gifts that they may help us grow. And dear Lord, I thank you for those that have the gift of exhortation. Thank you for them and what they do in the church, helping us to understand the Word of God and continuing to walk beside us, to encourage us and to rebuke us. And thank you for their love. And dear Lord, I pray for those that are listening right now, that if there is someone that does not know you as their personal Savior, that they will take this opportunity to get that taken care of, dear Lord, that they will accept you and they will realize the power of the gospel and how it can change lives. Continue to guide us and direct us. And we give you all the honor and praise for it all. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.